Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Caregivers Speak, the first online support group for caregivers and sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I'm Marjorie Pabst, your host and the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey and the author of just published Words of Care. You can find both of these books on eCareDiary.com or on my website, PivotalCrossings.com or Amazon. The purpose of our show, Caregivers Speak, is to give caregivers a forum for discussing the issues critical to and interesting about caregiving. We also seek to provide you, our listeners, with the latest tips, tools, and research. And today is no exception, as I welcome two people well known to our audience and to our family at eCare Diary, because they are John Mills and Susan Bida, the co-founders of eCareDiary.com. Last year, a very kind of peculiar but probably not unusual situation happened to Susan and John. They each became the cared for rather than being the great professionals that we know who help caregivers and their families. And, of course, Susan and John are also the parents of three small children, so they were faced with quite a testing situation. The tables turned, and John and Susan, in turn, each became a care partner for the other. Their emotions and observations were enriched. So throughout all of that turmoil, they have come to you today to talk about their shared experience and to provide you with their insights and tips. So welcome, Susan and John.
Thank you, Marjorie.
Yeah, thank you, Marjorie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mm-hmm. It's delightful to have you both with us. You both consider yourselves, you've each told me on separate occasions, that you're a part of the what would be called the sandwich generation of caregivers. So would you tell us what you mean by this and what is your current situation that you're sandwiched in?
So I guess I'll start because we're both sandwich generation, and I think what I'll do is I'll define sandwich generation for those unfamiliar with the term. It's basically someone who is caring not only for younger children but also their own parents. And so right now I'm caring for my mother, who is suffering from rheumatoid arthritis, and we are all actually about to become a multi-generational household. And what I mean by that is that we're building a home here in Pittsburgh. We all live in Pittsburgh, and we're building a home with an attached mother-in-law suite where she can live and have her privacy. And I am also caring long distance for my father, who actually just underwent blindness training. He's severe diabetic and unfortunately lost vision in his left eye. And he went through training for complete blindness, which is in the foreseeable future, with the Veterans Administration in Florida. So that's what I am currently doing at this moment. That's my current situation. And I think John now is going to talk about the other half of our caring.
To John?
Yes, well, and so as Susan mentioned, so we have Susan's parents to care for, and we also have young children, as Susan mentioned. We have a daughter who's 5 and 20-month-old twin boys. And so you put those together, and obviously our daughter is a little bit older, so she has some independence. You know, she can get herself dressed and brush her teeth and do those types of things, but she still can't make her own meals or go anywhere on her own or those types of things. The boys are still at the point where they're really pretty much completely dependent on us. You know, they're still in diapers. They still need to be fed. So, you know, it definitely creates a I would say, a different level of stress. And I can say, having cared for my father, who suffered from Parkinson's disease, prior to having had children, you know, having to basically care for both someone who is older and suffering from a chronic condition and care for younger children, really adds a completely additional level of stress and just time constraints.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Planning absolutely must be each of your middle names, because it sounds overwhelming, almost as though it could become that. And then on top of all of that, you know, given that that's the normal day-to-day, as you've each described it, last year, each of you in turn had to be cared for by the other. And so tell us about those situations and what it felt like to be the care recipient as opposed to the caregiver.
I can start a little bit if you'd like.
Okay.
To do that. So it was very interesting. So Susan was injured before I was, so I was actually her caregiver while caring for our children. But then she tore her Achilles, almost as soon as she gets to the point where she had full mobility again, literally probably within a month or two, I slipped on black ice and broke my ankle. And it was truly, it was really an eye-opening experience for me. I had never been through, you really see the world in a very different way. First of all, it was my right foot, so I couldn't drive for 3 weeks. So Susan had to drive me everywhere. And being dependent in that way on someone really is humbling. You're so used to being independent. And then the other thing that I found really interesting is how undisabled friendly the world is. So just all the things you take for granted on a day-to-day basis of, you know, being able to, you know, walk from your car to your job, or walk from your car to the mall, or all those types of things become a very difficult task. Things like cracks in the sidewalk that you never think of when you're able-bodied person become huge deals for you, and just being able to get around. And it really was eye-opening to me, because my father spent the last 3 years of his life using a walker, and it really made me realize how hard it was for him to get around, and the fact that he was able to do as many things as he was just was amazing to me.
Yes, yes. So John, let's just take a moment with that awareness that was developed in you for, like you say, it's a humbling awareness-building experience. Because I know with you and Susan having ecarediary.com and your work in this whole field of aging and caregiving, what is it that you intend to take forward? Because knowing you, I know you're going to take this knowledge and apply it to help other people in some way.
Well, I would say one thing, you know, we're talking about our experiences on the show to obviously let people be aware of them, and we're going to, you know, providing tips later on the show. But I'd say the other thing is, I mean, the Americans with Disabilities Act has definitely made things better. It made me realize we have a long way to go, and, you know, not that we have a lot of time, but I have to admit that there's a part of me that wants to get much more active in sort of bringing this more to the forefront. And as the population ages, you know, with the retirement baby boomers, this is going to become a much, much bigger issue. You know, for people to live independently, you know, we need to, I think, be a little bit more conscious of the changes we need to make in sort of our overall infrastructure and ability to get around.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though you and Susan, you know, one Achilles tendon, the other one a broken ankle, you know, you can think of people who are losing their sight or losing their hearing, and the way the world is functioning right now, you get on an airplane and maybe you can't read the small type on something or open a package or hear the pilot saying. I mean, the world is kind of not geared toward people losing their abilities, to your point.
For sure. I'll chime in on that end because, yes, I also the last year during the summer, I literally snapped my Achilles tendon on my left leg, fortunately. So I did have the ability to drive around, but I actually had to operate on a scooter, on what's called a knee scooter, for the better part of, I would say, 8 weeks, so 2 months. And I am the type of person who is incredibly independent and I try to be very self-sufficient. And, you know, when you're a mom and, you know, you're managing the household, you do all the cooking, the cleaning, waking up the kids, putting kids to bed and shopping and all this stuff. And, you know, I have to say when this happened, I realized, wow, the world really kind of turned upside down for me. And the world is not built for people who have disabilities, for sure. I will 110% agree with that. I'll talk a little bit about, you know, the emotions I was feeling for John, which was that, you know, here I was, you know, one day being completely capable of doing all these things to the next day being completely incapable, and watching him take over was really hard for me to do. I think it's a very hard for women to watch basically things being done without, you know, their hand in the pot. So it was very, very tough. And, you know, and unfortunately, I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, so, you know, that was also difficult in and of itself. But I think in those situations, you kind of let the little things slide as much as you can. You know, I felt incredibly guilty because all I could do was just, you know, for the first week, really just after the surgery, just really lie there. I just had to watch everybody do everything around me, and it's very, very, very tough, and I felt incredible guilt. And then as I started to become more mobile, and let me just not say that not only did John do everything, you know, from bathing and cooking, cleaning, waking up with the kids, putting them to bed and shopping, but he also had to bathe me. He had to get me dressed. You know, he had to carry things from me from one room to the other. I mean, this was just so foreign to me, and it really put me in the position of, wow, when I get older and I have some chronic illness, this is what the feeling is like. And it's very humbling. I mean, John, I think, said it correctly. It's very humbling, and you do feel very, you feel very incapacitated, and it's very hard on the ego. And I'll talk a little bit about the ego because I don't like having things done for me because I'm the one who helps. I'm the one who, serves and. You know, it just having that role reversed just was very difficult for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's very difficult for a lot of people who I think see themselves
absolutely.
In that role.
Well, and you know, I think both of you, I mean, it's wonderful that you come on air and you just lay out your hearts basically in explaining this, because I know there are a lot of listeners out there going, oh, I'm not alone. I felt that. I felt guilty. I felt incapable. I've even felt maybe resentment. You didn't say that word, Susan, but maybe even some resentment for, oh my God, I've got to lay here and everybody else is doing things. And,
you know,
you start feeling these negative emotions and then you go, oh, no, I shouldn't be feeling that way. And yet we do. We all do. So thank you for sharing all of that. So let's go deeper. Let's dig deeper. So how did this experience affect and impact your relationship as spouses?
This question makes me nervous, but I'll go ahead and start. So let me be very honest. John was much nicer and empathetic to me than I was to him when he got injured. I, you know, I have to say that I definitely felt resentment and burden because, you know, not only did I have, you know, all the typical things that I, you know, I just had gotten, regained control of my leg and was able to walk around and do things. And then I was actually just about to get back into getting my body in shape after, you know, 6 months of not really being able to do that. And then he breaks his ankle. And it's like, I literally felt like, wow, my goals have to be on hold yet again. So that was one sense of resentment that I felt, like, you know, something that I wanted to do, which was get back in shape, had to go back on the on the bookshelf, so to speak. Yeah. And, you know, not to mention other things were going on around at that time, and this is the thing I will stress to caregivers, is that, yeah, you might have to care for someone, and that's a stress in itself, but there may be, there are, you know, life happens. There are other things in life that happen. Like, the big thing in our lives that happened was that we moved from one, you know, what we consider our home, New York City, to a brand new city, Pittsburgh, and there was all that adjustment to get used to. And so I, you know, didn't really have friends. I still don't really have that many friends here yet. And there wasn't really anyone for me to turn to. And I felt very isolated and lonely. I will say that I felt very lonely, that I didn't really feel like I had anyone to talk to. And yes, yeah. You know, I guess I could have picked up a phone and called, you know, one of my friends back in New York, but, you know, you kind of just want to see someone face-to-face sometimes and just,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So I just felt very, and I think that that really hit home for me, because I think a lot of caregivers of aging parents really, I mean, feel that. And so, yes,
yes.
That was sort of my, I think that was how it impacted my relationship, is that, or our relationship, is that I felt, even though we're married, I felt lonely, and I did feel resentful. Sorry, John.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's
how
okay.
You,
and it's understandable. Well, in some ways, I think Susan had a little bit worse, at least at the beginning, than I did, because we lived in New York City, where a car was not a necessity, and both of these injuries happened after we'd moved. And the big difference was, because I happened to do my right foot, there was 3 weeks where I could not put any pressure on my leg, and Susan had to drive me everywhere, whereas I was never in that situation with Susan. And it does make a big difference. So she literally had to take me to work, bring me home from work, all those types of things. And so I do think that that made a bit of a difference. But, you know, I had a little bit of resentment as well. You know, it was hard. Our children weren't even a year old when Susan tore her Achilles, and literally they had just started crawling, and they didn't listen, and they were always going, because they're twins, they were going in different directions. Mm-hmm. I think what I felt more than anything, though, was just exhaustion. At the end of every day, I was exhausted. Susan first tore her Achilles, one of our sons was not yet sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
So I was literally getting up every night with him in the middle of the night, because Susan couldn't move to get to him. He, thankfully, before everything was over, was sleeping through the night. But I just felt this incredible exhaustion, just because I would be getting up in the middle of the night, and then I'd get up with him in the morning, and then I'd come home. And the other thing that was very odd was that, because of what had happened, I ended up not spending as much time with our daughter, because Susan could put Avery to bed, but she couldn't lift the boys. So what would happen was, most nights Susan would be putting Avery to bed and I'd be putting the boys to bed. So I missed that. I mean, that eventually kind of changed to Susan became more mobile, but there were a lot of emotions there. So probably exhaustion was the one I felt the most, but there definitely was some resentment too, Susan. Don't kid yourself. You had moments like, why has this happened? And, you know,
exactly.
Why me? And all of that. And, you know, I mean, I think we all go through that, but then, you know, I think the one thing that we both had, which was, we knew this was temporary. you know, we knew we would get better, and but it is eye-opening, and it, you know, as Susan, you said to me more than once, it was a preview of what it's going to be like when we get older and suffer from chronic conditions.
Yes, and you know, John and both of you, I think your reference to that, you know, on this show with the eCare Diary, we have done some work on caregivers and planning and thinking forward in terms of their own caregiving. And I think it does still, it puts a point on your comment that it helps anticipate. And, you know, how are we going to all, as we age, move into that place with a little more grace, hopefully, and planning to make it a little better when things do change. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susan.
No, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, even though I often say to caregivers, you know, you did the best you could, you know, when people start going, oh, I could have or I should have or I wanted to but I didn't. But having said that, as you look back, what did you learn and is there anything you would do differently with respect to, you know, how you handled this that would be helpful for our listeners out there today?
Well, I would definitely say for a few things. I mean, obviously there was the resentment that Susan talked about, and I think that's a natural, that is a very natural feeling. And so I would try and feel less resentful about it. And I think the other thing is, in retrospect, I would have tried to have found more help. I didn't want to burden other people with the issues, but I think that, you know, what you do learn when you're going through this is you do need help, and you know, you shouldn't be afraid to ask for help. That to me was a big lesson learned as a caregiver, and certainly I should have known that because I made, to a certain extent, made the same mistake with my father. I do think the one issue, you know, Susan raised, that we had relocated to a new place, so that made finding help a little bit harder. But, you know, I could have asked for more help than I did. So I would definitely say that's one thing that I would do differently.
You know, on that note, you know, we had a neighbor who offered to get groceries for us, and because I felt so embarrassed to have her do that I didn't take her up on that. And, you know, in retrospect, I should have. Because it would have made things easier, and it would have made us less stressed out. And then I'll add another thing. You know, John and I, while I think right after I had had my injury, we had two out-of-town events long-distance trips that we made that I think, in retrospect, we could have foregone. One was a trip to, you know, to a wedding out of state, and another one was, you know, a vacation that we planned. And despite my injury, we decided to go forward with that. And really, I mean, in retrospect, John and I consistently say we should never have done those. You know, considering my injury, we should have just, you know, stayed home because it was just overwhelming.
It was, and the vacation was our annual trip with my family, and we generally go to the beach, and I literally did not get out of the house because it was too hard with the twins, just as one person to try and keep track of them, leave the house, and so in retrospect, it really wasn't any kind of a vacation at all.
Yeah, you know, it's that's so interesting that. You know, I think it is kind of good to think back and say, would I have done anything differently without beating up on yourself too much, right? But I think that is helpful. And carrying it forward, you'll learn from that for the next time. And, well, I want to pause here for just a minute, just make sure we don't have any callers on the line for John and Susan. Do we have anybody on the line today? Well, one of the questions that has come in and it is a fitting way, I think, to end our show here in the final moments, is to ask each of you for a tip or two. What tips would you give to spouses should they experience this role reversal? And let's just take each of you quickly, and then we'll, because we've got just a couple minutes left. So, Susan, you want to start?
I'll start. Okay. So I would say just really when you're being cared for by your spouse, I would say be kinder and more empathetic to one another, because it is a very tough job. And I will say this, if, you know, John and I fortunately have a strong marriage, we really do a great job of communicating our emotions to one another and what we're feeling, and we're able to resolve our issues. But if your marriage is not already strong, a chronic illness or a massive injury will definitely rock the boat. I mean, it really, it adds stress to your, relationship. And, so it's really good to have a little bit more kindness, patience, and empathy. I know it's not always easier said than done, but in the moment, but I can say that from in retrospect now. And the other quick thing I will say is that I would most certainly find a friend or family, or if you don't have a friend or family to talk to, reach out to your minister or a spiritual advisor to talk to, because holding it all in and taking it all on yourself is lethal to your health, to yourself, to your, and most certainly to those around you, because stress has an interesting way of making you want to bite, if you're under a lot of pressure.
Bet.
So
you bet.
Those are my little tips.
Thank you so much, Susan. Those are great tips. John, how about you?
I've talked a little bit about this, but I think support and help. I think Susan talked
yes.
about emotional yes. support, but you also need physical support. So, Susan mentioned the neighbor who offered to get groceries. I mean, those mm-hmm. are the types of things that if someone's going out to run an errand anyway and they're willing to pick up a few things for you, that's a huge, huge relief. And if you have family members or friends who can, come over and maybe help you a little bit with certain things, again, those are also huge things that can help you. And so anything along those lines that will help you in those ways to just kind of deal with the stress and responsibilities, I highly recommend doing.
Right. Well,
don't be a martyr.
That's a great way to put it, Susan. Don't be a martyr.
Don't be a martyr. That's right. And isn't it interesting? I mean, for you listeners, John and Susan and I, we all write about caregiving. And we often write about that people should ask for help. And yet, isn't it ironic? I find the same thing. I have difficulty sometimes asking for help. And so this seems to be the big bugaboo. And it is a important point, well taken, this asking for help. So I want to thank you both so much. You have contributed so much to our show today, but certainly to the field of caregiving. The kinds of things you're doing on eCareDiary.com are just unequaled. And so, thank you for doing all of that and being the sandwich caregivers that you are.
Marjorie, thank you for hosting this tremendous show and for the opportunity to be on your show to talk about these things. And I hope we were helpful in some way to the listeners out there.
Absolutely. Yes. You certainly both were. And Susan will be, by the way, for all of you next week on Tuesday at 2 p.m. If it's 2 p.m., it's going to be Empowering Family Caregivers. And Susan will be interviewing George Elwell. He's the founder and president of Silent Call Communications. And he makes devices for seniors, right, Susan, who are deaf
yes.
and blind.
Yes.
Should be a very interesting show. And John, thank you so much for everything that you do. And you were on a couple of previous shows about the Affordable Care Act, and I look forward to talking with you again at a future date about the new developments in the Affordable Care Plan. So thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie, and thank you so much for having us on the show today. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. And thanks to our listeners out there. I'm Marjorie Pabst, and we will talk again soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.